day. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. Right. We must rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. It's a day we shall not make excuses. Now, right up to the scripture, when they were sent out the invitation for supper, one make an excuse and say, I have not brought a piece of land. I must need go and see it. Lord, I cannot come to the supper. Isn't that a dumb excuse?
Mm-hmm.
Will you purchase a piece of land without seeing it first? What did the other say? I have bought 5 oxen. I can't go to that supper. I have to go and tend to them. If you had to buy 5 cars, will you not visit those cars first before you spend the money? Excuses, you know, we have them every day. Sometimes I use them, but sometimes they are so dumb. The other said, I have married a wife. I'm on honeymoon. I can't come to the supper. How many times we use our wife for excuse? How many times we use our family for excuse? You see, for sake not the assembling of yourself together. And we have all kind of excuses. I can make it to the meeting. I can make it this, that, that. Sometimes I wonder if you're going to change our name and call us excuse. You just tell one fellow, he said, come and follow me. He said, well, my father died, I had to bury him. I had to go and bury him. I can't come and follow you. He said, let the dead, you just let the dead bury the dead. You know, maybe he was considering that. If I bury my father, I will get the death certificate and all the possession of my father belongs to me. I don't want no other brother or sister get that chance. And sometimes we are like that. We hold on to the possession of the life. We hold on to them. We don't want to let go. And we are making all kind of excuses. Why didn't wait on the Lord this morning? I have to do that. I have to do this. Why didn't visit the sick? I have to do that and I have to do this. Excuses. One songwriter put it this way. Excuses, excuses, you find them every day. The devil will supply you with so much. From church, you'll stay away. God has called us to a high calling. That excuses must be out of our system.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Maybe you're washing. Cooking. You find excuses why you don't. I will do it after I'm finished. And the time you finish washing and cooking, that burden, let it go on. You never know somebody would need in need of that fire. Sometime I was at North Bellford some years ago. One of the brothers was saying that there was this brother who was a pilot, private plane, and he was in trouble flying. God delivered him. There was a crash landing, to make a long story short, and the nose of the airplane came right to the trunk of the tree. So, the Sunday he went to the local church and he was given this report, this testimony, how God delivered him. So after he finished, one sister said, what time of day was that? I can't remember the time, but I'm just going to say, let's say 3 o'clock. She said, that was the same time I feel that burden to go and pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
What time did the crash land take place? What time it finished after all those troubles? He told her. She said, that's the same time the burden lifted. The work was accomplished.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
My sheep hear my voice.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they follow me. Well, before I get warm up, greetings to all those who Cyberspace, sir. YouTube space. Greetings to all. We have a prayer request. We're going to call Brother Ray to do that for us this morning. Is Brother Ray here? Okay. and to open us in prayer one time.
So a friend of mine, his name's Vince, he has Parkinson's, and he's had it a number of years. So he knows the Lord, and he's at a stage where the next form of treatment is brain surgery. So he's meeting with a surgeon this morning to discuss how that might go. But he knows the Lord, and I let him know that we'd be praying for him this morning. And so we want to do that. So we'll remember Vince in prayer. So Lord, we just bring Vince before your throne. Lord, we thank you for all that natural doctors can do, Lord, and the treatments that they have, and we know that ultimately all healing comes from you, Lord, but we want to take him to the great physician. Yeah. He needs a touch from you today. And so we bring him to you, Lord. He knows you. Lord, we pray that you would intervene on his behalf and, Lord, change the direction of this disease in his life, Lord. And Lord, for your glory and your praise and your honor, O God, and for the glory of your power, there's nothing that you can't do, Lord. Lord, so we pray for him. We pray for his wife, Jeanette, as they go through this together. We pray for his five kids. Lord, we pray that you be with with each of them as well, Lord, in a powerful way, Lord.
And, amen.
Lord, they're in the midst of a storm, but Lord, they have a firm foundation in you, Lord, a rock, Lord, and says that will stand, Lord, whatever the storms of life. So, Lord, we thank you, we praise you for your work on his behalf, Lord, even now in answer to prayer. Lord, we thank you for your glory and your power, for all that Jesus did on the cross, for our salvation, and for suffering that by your stripes, Jesus, we would be healed. Lord, we thank you for the great healing and work that went on last night. We give you praise and glory for that, even now, Lord. We thank you for the power of your Spirit moving and changing lives physically. Lord, we thank you for the anointing, Lord, filling of your Spirit in people. Lord, we need your Spirit every day. And we pray your anointing on this meeting even now and the rest of this camp. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. We have a praise report this morning from Brother Keith Harley. The culture of the time looking really good.
I know that we had prayed for the little 3-month-old Kalina up by the other day. And I spoke with a family member last night. The trip that they took up to Boston, the doctors wouldn't allow her to fly because of the fear of, I hope I'm getting all these facts correct, but for the fear of, I guess, infections, and I'm not sure if the cabin pressure difference also creates an issue with this blood disease, but they had a pretty long trip, but she rested very comfortably the whole time. She actually ate, which hasn't happened in quite a while. Got to the hospital, they started the medication, and she's responding beautifully to the medication. That's an answer to prayer. And the family is just elated, and they expressed their appreciation to you all for the prayers, asked that you continue to pray. The doctors said, well, when she gets to 18, we hope to have a cure of some type for this. They're currently working on some of the other lower number X factors, and this X factor 10 is going to probably take another 10 years. I'm going to be bold this morning. we didn't ask when we prayed the other night that she kind of get patched up enough to limp along until we came, the man came up with some drug that would, you know, mm-hmm. set her free, basically. We asked the Lord to touch her.
Amen.
And I just want to ask that you remember her, and that the prayer request that we that was lifted up on her behalf the other night, that we continue to pray for her.
Yes.
It's far be it from me to tell the Lord how he should do these things. He knows what's needed, and I know that he can use situations like this to reach the hearts of people who otherwise couldn't be reached. So the Lord's timing is perfect, and he knows what this family needs.
Yeah.
But we specifically ask that the Lord would heal her, and that is my prayer for them, and I know that's your prayer for them. So just I want to encourage you to continue to pray for them. As a matter of fact, if it's okay, I'd like to pray again right now.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Just lift your hands for Kalina and let it be.
Father, signs at 18, yes? With you, Lord. With you, you are so precious and you are powerful. You have the answer, you have the remedy.
Yes.
So we claim it now.
Yes.
Now, Lord.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We claim that touch right now.
Amen.
Touch. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
We claim that victory. And we thank you for that victory.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I hope you can hear that feet get a little lighter this morning after a good rest. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, the impact of the message on culture has such a hold on me. This morning, I was singing and just the word just fit right into a song. And the song that said, my soul has escaped as a bird. Can you Caribbean folks come and help us, help me with the singing this morning? I can't keep a proper tune sometimes. And B flat, C flat. So I need people to keep me in tune.
Amen.
Remember this song, my soul has escaped as a bird. Out of the snare of the fowl. But something just slipped into my mind. Out of the snare of the culture. The culture is broken. And we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Christy, you want to join us? No, well, you not be one song you'll be here for. You'll be here for one song, brother. Is anybody here who knows a song? My soul is escaped as a bird,
yeah.
Out of the snare of the fowler. So instead of we say, out of the snare of the fowler, we say, out of the snare of the culture.
Yeah.
Do you catch it?
Yeah.
So you know the song. But you just didn't know to fit that word. So instead of fowler, we say culture. So let's all stand and try that. I hate that I'm going to sing a song. All those who know it, can you raise your hand, please? So we can have, where's Debbie? Debbie, you can come and help us. Somebody has to be there. When she comes to the Caribbean, she's the Caribbean like wire. Amen.
Page 98.
It's page 98. Oh, okay, page 98. So instead of we say Paula, we're going to say culture. Amen. Oh, come on, Debbie. Andy, can we ask you permission to tell Debbie come a little closer? Yeah. 98. 98 in the back or the front?
Thank you.
the hand and said, "He had made me glad. He had made me glad." Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He had made me glad. Oh, he had made me glad. Glory to God. God. Yeah, man, God. I'm glad to be here. Amen. Oh, praise God. Oh. Hallelujah. Why don't they call morning? So because we are glad. Praise God, we can all sing together. Surely we must enter.
Yeah.
Into the holy place. Oh, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Heaven is here.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Where is this heaven? I don't want to get carried away this morning. Sometimes we have. Amen. Surely we must enter.
You don't look one night.
Surely we must enter into the holy place. Therefore, let us. Victory belongs to us. I heard an old story.
Yeah.
How is, I don't know what number it is. It's supposed to be in the book. A Savior came from glory how he made the lame to walk, the blind to see.
Yeah.
Amen. You know that?
Hey,
oh, victory.
173
in the red book. And thank God the book is red. Amen.
Amen.
So when we look at that red book, it's going to be reminded of the blood.
Mm-hmm.
The blood is red. That cleanses us from all sins. Praise God. So you're going to depend on you to start the rest of the book. Praise God.
Thank you.
because they live. The culture of death must give way to the culture of life. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. It shall be destroyed. The culture of fear must give way to the culture of faith. Because he lives. Can we sing that chorus again? Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Sinking into the system. And that's what we need, the things of God, to sink in. To let the church be the church. When we walk in that culture, it'll be different. Mm-hmm. But truly be the church. Oh, hallelujah. us to walk in your culture. We have made that choice. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Church, stand within the holy place and let me do the work that I have begun to do in thee and complete it, said the Lord thy God. Yield thou, yea, to those that I have set in authority over thee. Yea, come under their headship, said the Lord thy God, and thou shalt enjoy a peace and a comfort that the world does not know. Thou shalt receive direction in thy life that the world does not know. Yea, my little ones, thou art mine and thou art precious. And I have called thee to become the church of the Almighty God. Yea, and to grow up into full maturity so that thou may be joined unto my Son, Jesus Christ, on that day that is set before thee. Oh, rejoice and be glad. And come thou into my church, says the Lord thy God, and I will protect thee and keep thee in the palm of my hands, says the Lord thy God, unto thee. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Behold, I said unto thee, my people, let a church be the church.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have called thee to partake of my divine nature, that a church will be the church.
Yeah.
I have called thee to feast, to sit at my feet and along with me. I have given thee a pattern, as I did give Moses a pattern to build a tabernacle. It is your responsibility to follow the pattern. And I have set elders and deacons ministries over thee, says God. And they are sharing the pattern with thee. We build not against the pattern, says God. Yea, but follow thou with that pattern, and the glory of God shall fill your life. It shall fill your home. It shall fill the church, says the Almighty. Yea, I said unto thee, my people, I will sustain thee on the journey. I will give unto thee what thou needest. I will feed thee. Yea, I will strengthen thee. If thou wilt wait upon me, and thou wilt be able to overcome the enemy, thou wilt overcome the obstacles. Thou wilt be an overcomer, says the Lord thy God. If thou follow the pattern, says God. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Did not my spirit dwell in the tabernacle and also in the temple, which were very fine and defined in how they were built? Mm-hmm. And yea, I also defined my church, and now does not my spirit dwell among my people?
Yeah.
Does it not lead thee and guide thee? It does not lead thee astray. Thou art my sheep. Thou hear my voice. Thou know wherest I am at all times. And I ask you, my people, to come to the altar. I come to you to the altar to accept Christ into your life even more than thou hast done. Do not think that even if thou dost have a spirit of me now, And thou dost walk with me, that I will not ask thee to walk even closer. For the world is evil, and thou dost need me. Thou dost not know at times, but thou dost believe me. And I need thee, O people, to rely on my spirit. Give not cause to this world, but give cause to the spirit and the dwelling place of which the Lord is within thee.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on now. Come out. I'm calling you to come out from the world. Maybe not long into this world, but whatever you feel that you don't fit in, that is my spirit tonight. It's showing you that I have a different pattern than you. Yeah, don't long to fit in to this world. Uncomfortableness with the world. Yea, rejoice in me. Pray to me. Pray in that heavenly language. Amen. And yea, you will feel fitted into the grandest plan. Yes. The very creator of the universe has a plan for you that is better than any you can imagine. Yea, do not long to fit into the pattern of this world. But yea, come out. Come out from among them.
For the time has come, saith the Lord, to discern the body of Christ.
Yes.
And to know what is the body of Christ and what is not the body of Christ. For there is much that is not the body of Christ, and there is much that is the body of Christ, saith the Lord. And I have called you to discern the difference between the two, and to choose that which is right and good and holy, saith the Lord. For I have given you a vision, yea, of gifts and ministries, yea, of orders, saith the Lord, and offices. And I have put them into my church, saith the Lord, and I have ordered them in a particular way that they should operate. Yea, and I have given you a vision to know that there are things that are not part of the church and not part of the home. And I have called you out of those things, yes, to walk in my orders and my ways, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
For yea, I have set you in the body of Christ. And yea, do not think that you are a minor or unimportant part of the body. For yea, I have given you a slight glimpse into the place that I have for you and what I have you, would have you to do. And I say unto thee, because I have only given you a small picture, do not think it is unimportant. For yea, as you walk in obedience and you fulfill what I have given you to do, yea, I will reveal more and more unto you. And yea, you cannot even comprehend how important your place is in the body of Christ, and how important you are to the functioning of the body. Yea, do not take it for granted, but walk faithfully in what I have given you to do. Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Cast off your burdens and throw away these fleshly desires and the things of this earth. For I am your Lord, and I have said these things more than one time, time and again. Follow my ways. Do not follow the ways of your flesh. My path is sweet. You walk off my path and it gets thorny and rough, but I am there to bring you back. I will never deny you. My promises are real. My love is real. My promises are forever. I sent my son to prove it. Do not deny these facts, because I am your Lord.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Behold, the heavens and behold, the heavens are opened. Forever the veil has been rent. You're walking together in Zion, and there are no limits in the Lord your God. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God.
It's such a joy to see, stand here and see the culture of the kingdom in the box. You know, we had a walk this morning, reached to the top and looked over. It was beauty. When you stand and see God people, enter into that culture, lifting their hands. You stand here and you look at it, it's beautiful. It reminds me that when Moses was lifting his hands up to God, Israel was winning. And when you take his hand down, Israel will lose it. So we need to lift our hands more. And if prop up his hand, hand stayed up, Israel got complete victory over the enemy. So when we don't feel like lifting our hands, remember that. When the feelings come back to lift your hands, say, that's the old culture. I must get away from it. and exercise the godly conscience. I'm sure you're all familiar with the story of the man by the pool of Bethesda. And when the waters were disturbed, it was mentioned yesterday in the healing service, the need service last night, that the waters were disturbed. But from his perspective, prior to Christ coming to his side, it seems too late or hopeless or whatever term you want to call. Sister Gloria Lust this morning received news from a health test she had done on Friday. And I'm going to make a little bit of a self-confession here. I'm not the best person to sort of feel for other people until this morning. And my wife often has called me cold because I just don't quite relate well. But as we were singing, I was told this just before we sung Victory in Jesus. Come over to me and whispered it in my ear. And I thought, I'm not saying Gloria thought this, but it was how I got to the understanding. How I must feel, it's hard to sing that song because yesterday was the day. Last night was the day for needs. And I found out today, it's too late. It's not too late. We serve a living Savior.
Yeah.
Yeah. We walk in the victory over these things.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that it was today, Gloria, yesterday was yesterday, today is today, and he's today and forever.
Amen.
And he can touch you.
Amen.
And she's asked for prayer this morning. Amen. That's why I asked Brother Joel and Brother Rick to come up, and Gloria, if you would come up and argue with her. Just because yesterday was the day, if you know, let's throw that away. Today's a new day. Today, he is as capable today as he was yesterday. This is not a pool of Bethesda problem. This is because we serve a living Savior. And we can stand on the victory that he did on the cross. Like I said, I'm not the one who usually can relate, but this morning, Sister Gloria, it must have been hard to sing victory, but I hope that you stand on that victory this morning.
Praise God.
Yeah. Anybody wish to join us? Yeah, everybody stand and whatever brother wish to join us up here. The ailments of Egypt. And oh Father, this morning Gloria has heard the word of the doctors. May she stand on the word of the scriptures that there is a greater victory indeed than all the news that the world can bring to us. Father, we stand in defiance this morning against that knock at the door, and we stand firm knowing that thy touch is greater than any affliction in the Egypt, oh Father.
Yes.
Oh Father, we pray a touch upon Gloria this morning.
Yes.
May she not have fear, but may she claim victory this day. Hey, our Father, may she sing with a joy in her voice. Even though there's unknowns, oh Father, she knows that thou livest with her. Father, we just pray a special touch upon her this morning. We claim this victory this morning. We claim this victory on the cross, oh Father, that thou hast conquered all things. Be with her this morning.
Oh, take away any fear.
Yes.
Take away any doubt.
Hallelujah.
And oh, Father, may she walk in that faithfulness that we have been ministered.
Yes.
Oh, Father.
Yes.
Touch her, we pray. Heal her, we pray. Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus, we are God.
Good morning.
So this has been an interesting week for me, summer, I guess. And I just wanted to kind of acknowledge the power of our God. Something I promised myself about 6 months ago. I'll try and be as transparent as possible and to speak truth as often as I can. So, I should probably start off by saying that I'm one of the people who has problems with things that are happening in this church. And I'm critical. And I'm judgmental. And I know it. And I'm working on it. And God put it on my heart about 5 years ago to be love. To be the love of Jesus. And that's my job. Is to love God and to love the ones that He made. So I found out that for me, I had to walk away for a few years to figure how to do that. It's way easier to love people when they don't annoy you. So I had to stay away for a few years to figure out how to love me, and then to figure out how to love other people. And that's the way God worked in my heart. But at the beginning of the summer, I was not planning on being at any camps. I was not considering myself a part of any group, of any religious organization. And I've been like that for a few years now, and I've been really close to God, and I've been really close to Jesus, but I haven't been really close to His people. I've been working on that this summer. So I started off this summer with a road trip to Canada to see if I could be loved to people there, and found out that they've been growing just as much as I have. And it's really inspiring to me. So my testimony, I'm not planning to say that when I got up here, but in the spirit of transparency and authenticity and being real, I'm looking for real people and I'm looking for real relationships, and I'm finding that here. So thank you.
Praise God.
Amen.
But about 8 months ago in November, I started getting severe migraines. I've had migraines for about 20 years. And the migraines were so bad that I was having zero relief. They were lasting anywhere from 7 days to 90 days. I was going blind at some points. I was vomiting quite often. I had my gallbladder removed because that's what the physicians thought might help reduce the migraines or remove them, and it did. It did help reduce them. It did not remove them. Went up for prayer at the healing service in North Battleford, and wasn't terribly convinced about the rituals of the church, and God bigger than me. So I woke up the next morning migraine free for the first time in about 2 months. And had about a week off until I tried to cross the U.S. border and got stressed out and got another migraine. And I've had a migraine for 8 days. And some of you guys have seen me sitting in the back corner of the dining hall. Some of you guys have seen me sitting in the corner of the lobby, sitting in the back of the room here, trying to avoid the noise and the lights and the sounds, but trying not to avoid the people, because that's what's important. And then last night I was the first one up here for the healing service because we were encouraged to really claim that victory. Yeah. And so I spent the time before the service just preparing my heart and kind of was waiting for Marcus to close up. I was here waiting for him to stop talking. Waiting for someone to lay hands on me because I was done with this migraine. and there was a prayer, and I believed it, and I claimed it, and then Andy came up after the prayer was finished and asked if he could pray again, and he put his hands around my neck, and he kind of shook for a moment. And there was a physical pop in my neck, and I heard it and I felt it. And from the moment that his hands were on my neck, the migraine lifted. So, I love you. I love Jesus. The Holy Spirit is amazing. And I really want to prioritize that more than anything else. Is that the more that we focus on him and the more that we focus on loving one another and the more that we focus on being loved to one another, the more open our hearts can become to what he has in store for us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Service last night was very touching, it was touching for me as an elder, sort of a confession of an elder. But you know, we come up here to pray for you all, and we stand up here, and at least for me, feel very inadequate of what God is asking us to do. And I was standing up here behind Ivy and praying for her, and I was in my heart saying, why am I up here? Why is God put me here? I don't have the confidence in myself or in what I know. And God shot one of his heavenly arrows that some of you may know about that go right to where they need to go. And struck me so hard. And all he did, he spoke to me in the silence of my mind and said, I appointed you. I chose you. That's all. And I realized it didn't matter what I know, how smart or not smart I am, what scriptures I know, or whatever the case may be. The reason, the position he gave me, is not because of who I am, it's because of who he is.
Amen.
And that he, whatever reason why, he chose to put me in that position. And he chose all these elders and deacons that are in these assemblies. They didn't go up there and raise their hand and say, I volunteer. They were voluntold as sergeants. And so, that is our role, is to be obedient.
Amen.
So when the healing service or praying for needs or asking for the infilling of the Spirit and the elders come forward, is because, not because of what we know, that we have a special touch or whatever, it's because God has appointed us. And we go out of obedience to go forward and to pray for all of you. And so I learned more in that few minutes standing up here from God. And I didn't know I was going up to be touched, but I was touched. And I thank him for that.
Amen. Amen.
That wasn't what I was going to come up here to talk about. I came up here to talk about history. I'm going to be a history teacher. And Kellen knows me a little bit. He knows I like to use taglines. And I could probably point at Kelvin, and he could probably tell you at least two taglines that I use when I talk. Do you know one of those taglines, Kelvin?
Oh, yeah. Follow your heart.
Follow your heart is one tagline. Does anyone? Or the star in your heart. We use it several. So yeah, Indiana Young People 2 years ago, we talked about what it means. When the world says, follow your heart, what are they really saying? What was last year's tagline? Hallmark name.
Hallmark name.
That perfect man that's out there, or that perfect woman that the world creates that we're supposed to be looking for. So we talked about Hallmark name. I don't know if I have the perfect tagline today, but if I was to give a tagline, my tagline would be, just let God.
Amen.
Just let God. So, this is where history comes in. I'm reading Ezekiel. I don't know why I'm reading Ezekiel. It's not the first thing that pops into your head and you go, what am I going to read in the Bible? Well, I think I'm going to go to Ezekiel and spend some time there in Ezekiel. Somehow or another, I ended up in Ezekiel. And God has been using that in my life. So when I was looking at Ezekiel, I started to get confused. Because I thought I knew the timeline of Ezekiel. And I realized I didn't quite know the timeline. So in order for me to talk to you a little bit about Ezekiel, I need to tell you the timeline, because I'm going to assume that you were like me and maybe didn't quite understand the timeline of Ezekiel. So I'm going to walk you through it. And I'm going to pronounce some kings' names that are going to be totally wrong. But just give me some grace, okay? All right, so I'm going to start with Josiah. Now, we know Josiah. He was a king in Judah. Remember, at this time of in Judah and Israel's life, Israel does no longer exist. It's been conquered by the Assyrians. They've been scattered. So now there's just the country of Judah. And so, and in Judah is the city of Jerusalem. And Josiah is the king. And Josiah, Egypt is kind of a powerful country. And Babylon is another powerful country. And those two powerful countries are going to meet. And they're going to determine who is the most powerful kingdom on the face of the earth. And so it was inevitable. And so Egypt comes up and starts marching through the country of Judah. And Babylon is coming down to meet them. And so Josiah gets in the middle, and he says, well, I'm aligned myself with Babylon, so Egypt, you are my enemy, and I am going to fight you. And so Josiah fights Egypt, and Judah loses. Josiah dies. And so Egypt continues on, and they go up, and they fight with Babylon, and Egypt loses. So Egypt withdraws and goes back. And Babylon takes a little bit more territory. But Judah, Jerusalem, is now under the control of Egypt. So what does that mean? Egypt gets to determine who the new king is. So Egypt decides that Jehoaz is going to be the king. And so Egypt sets up the king in Judah. And so now Judah serves Egypt. But Babylon isn't finished with Egypt. And so it was just a battle, it wasn't the war. And so again, Egypt and Babylon come together and they have another battle. And they fight. And again, Babylon wins. And this time, Judah switches alliances. It's no longer aligned with Egypt. It's now aligned with Babylon. And when it's aligned with Babylon, that means Babylon gets to choose who the king is, because the other king aligned themselves with Egypt, so he's got to go. And so a new king is put into place. And that new king, Jehoiakim, is put into place. And then Babylon's way of dealing with these countries that are now serving them is to take the best of the best of those countries and to move them to Babylon. So that's where Daniel comes in. They take Daniel and his friends and some other very prominent folks, royal folks, people that were prominent in the country, and they are moved or deported to Babylon. And that's where they live. It's called the first deportation. Then, so now we've got Babylon controlling Judah. And so now Egypt decides, hey, I am going to fight against Babylon again. They haven't determined who's going to be winner in that battle. And so Egypt and Babylon again battle with one another. And Jehoiakim decides to switch alliances and says, I am no longer going to be aligned to you, Babylon. I am going to go to Egypt. I am going to align myself with Egypt. Well, then that battle between Babylon and Egypt, Egypt loses again. And so Babylon is not very happy with Judah. And so Judah pays the price. And so they come down and attack Jerusalem. And they basically overtake Judah. And they do the second deportation. And this time in the second deportation, they grab Ezekiel and thousands of other Jews, and they move them to the Babylonian territories. And that is where they live. They've been deported, the second deportation that's taken place. Now Jerusalem hasn't been destroyed, it still stands. But a new king is now set up by Babylon again over that location. And so Ezekiel is the prophet, but he is not in Jerusalem. He has been deported, but God starts to minister with Ezekiel. There are still Jews in Jerusalem, living in Jerusalem, trying to put the past behind them, but they are still in Jerusalem. And that's where I want to pick up the story. That's the timeline Ezekiel is in. The Jews are split. Jerusalem. Babylonian. So now I want to take you to Ezekiel. And we're going to do a little bit of reading there. Ezekiel chapter 8. I'm going to read in the NIV. You know, I've read Ezekiel before, probably many times. But this story never stuck up to me until I read it a few weeks back. So, there are several visions that take place in Ezekiel. If you've never read it, it's very interesting and sometimes very confusing what he sees, because he tries his best to describe what he sees. And the creatures that he describes, I'm not even sure I can draw if I knew how to draw. Because it's really, really weird. But in Ezekiel chapter 8, he has another vision. He has a vision at the start of the book, and he has several as the book goes on. But in chapter 8, he has another vision. And he assumes when you read chapter 8 that you've read the first part of Ezekiel, because he says, it's just like it was over there when I wrote about it in that other chapter. So So if you ever read through the entire chapter 8 of Ezekiel, to get the full picture, you got to go back and read the first vision, because he describes all the creatures that he doesn't describe again in chapter 8. But the interesting thing is, he is sitting in his home. He's with the leaders that are with him in the Babylonian territory. He's sitting amongst the leaders. And God sort of grabs him by the shoulder and kind of yanks him out of there. He disappears. In his mind, it could be that his body was still there, but Ezekiel wasn't there. God took him. And God had something he wanted to show him. And he said, Ezekiel, I've got something I need you to see. It's really important that you see it. And I'm going to show you why I am so upset with Judah. Why I am upset with my people. So he takes Ezekiel and he transports him to Jerusalem. And we're going to pick up on that story starting in verse 7 of Ezekiel 8. And it says, then he brought me to the entrance to the court. He is in the temple court area. I looked and I saw a hole in the wall. And he said to me, son of man, now dig into the wall. And it kind of reminded me of Indiana Jones. You know, you got this archaeologist, you know, and he's, you know, looking for something, and so he has to dig for it. I kind of see Ezekiel kind of in that garb of Indiana Jones here. So it says that Ezekiel, I dug into the wall and I saw a doorway. So he's like, here's this little hole in the wall. And God says, okay, Ezekiel, get busy. I want you to start digging. So he starts digging. I don't know if he did it with his hands or if God gave him some tools. I don't know what he did. But he broke away this wall and he sees a doorway. And he said to me, go in and see the wicked and detestable things they are doing here. So I went in and looked, and I saw portrayed all over the walls all kinds of crawling things, unclean animals, and all the idols of Israel. Now keep in mind, he had to dig to find this. It was kind of in a secret place. It wasn't like out in the open. It was kind of like you had to dig into a wall to get to this room. In front of them, so he's got all these idols and all these things. In front of all these detestable things, in front of them stood 70 elders of Israel. And Jehoshaphat, son of Shaphan, I don't know who he is, but he must be important, was standing among them. Each had a censer in his hand, and a fragrant cloud of incense was rising. So get the picture. Here's all these idols, these things that are detestable to the Israelites. And here stands the actual elders, the leaders of the people. And they're holding censers. A censer would be what you would put incense in, and you would light it, and you'd have a fragrant aroma from it. So the idea around it is they are worshiping these things. They're not just standing there looking at them, they are worshiping these things. And he said to me, so now God's talking to Ezekiel, son of man, have you seen what the elders of Israel are doing in the darkness, each at the shrine of his own idol? They say, the Lord does not see us. God is proving that he does right in front of Ezekiel. The Lord has forsaken the land. You know, when I read that, another one of God's arrows was flying in my direction and struck me. And I realized that I may not have a physical altar with a physical idol sitting on it, and me with a physical censer standing in front of it. But I realized that in the depths of my heart, there are corners of my heart in which there are still darkness and blackness in there. and in which I have hidden certain things that I don't want God to see. And I have moved them out of his light into these corners to try to keep them away from God. Just like these elders in this story in Ezekiel, God was like a prosecutor telling his case to Ezekiel, then to say, this is why this is happening. All those deportations, let me show you right here what's going on. You may not see it. You may see them out in the courts praying to God, but that's not what's in their heart. What's in their heart is right behind in this secret wall is what they're doing right there. That's what's controlling them. It's not me. They're not allowing me to control them. They're letting those idols, those detestable things, control them. And so I had to look into my heart and say, what is controlling me? What are those things that I like to keep hidden from God? You know, it's not a carved image in my home. It's not a thing in my drawer or anything like that. It's stuff that's everyday stuff that I have taken to a prominence beyond what it needs to be. And so God was working on me this week with all the messages that have been going on. I mean, God, I think he took the gloves off and he started just doing bare knuckles this week. I don't know if you guys have felt that way, but the messages of some, you know, in the worldly sense, it seems like God's been hitting below the belt. But his messages has been going through. And the tagline that God kept putting in my head is, just let God. Just let God. So I had to grab my pack. That's how I think. Grab my fanny pack, fill up my water bottles, and I headed head into the woods. Good thing we have woods here. I had to head to the woods. I had to do some thinking. I said, God, what are you trying to get at? What is it that you're trying to work on me for? And I had an idea, because I've been thinking about this for several weeks. And I realized, especially when the message came early this week about tithing. Tithing money is not a problem for me. But tithing time is a problem. I like to give God, I have my day, I'm a very organized person. I have my day kind of set up and to say, God, in the morning when I get up, here's your 15 to 20 minutes. There you got it. The rest of my day, I've got what I need to do. And God's been knocking on my heart for several years saying, I don't know if that's enough time. I don't know if I can tell you everything I need you to know in the amount of time that you give me. And so I fill my day with other things. And I make those things more important than God. And for me, it could be as simple as making my front yard more important. And making sure those flowers bloom and those weeds don't grow. And it could be making sure that I am, you know, making sure I have that time in the evening where I can just relax on the couch, turn on the TV, and just say, I need my 2 hours here of just kind of taking things down a notch. I've had a busy day. You know, I need that decompression time. And during those things that when I'm out there in the yard or I'm out there, you know, watching TV, whatever the case may be, I feel God saying, I don't know if this is the best use of your time. I think I've got something I need to talk to you about. And it's like, too tired. You can't do that. And I was wondering when I got up here, when I was working on this, it's like, I wonder if I'm the only one like this. I was wondering if maybe others of you maybe have little corners within your heart that you hide things in. And in which you don't want to listen to God. And they may not look like idols, but there are things that are taking away from God. He may be asking for more of you now than you did before. Maybe when I was doing 15 to 20 minutes, that was enough at that particular time in my life. But now he's saying, I want more of your time. I want to take you deeper or to somewhere else than where you are now. And it may be for you different from me. Maybe it's friendships. The friends are more important than God is. And keeping those friendships or developing those friendships, whatever it takes, maybe that's become more important to you. Maybe it's that job that you have and the aspirations that you have in your job and how you want to climb the corporate ladder. Maybe that's more important to you. It's not that any of these things are bad in and of themselves. It's just the matter of what prominence did you put them in your life. That's what makes them bad. It's like God created gold and silver. It's not that gold and silver is bad, but for the Israelites, they took that gold and silver and they molded it into something that became a thing they worshipped. God was the creator of the resources. Man took those resources and instead of using it for the glory of God, used it for their own glory. Maybe your things that you struggle with are movies and TVs and entertainment. Maybe it's that mobile device that we spend a lot of time looking at. Maybe it's projects in your home. Maybe it's sports. Football season's coming up, college football. I don't know, in the South, that's a big thing. You know, and sometimes some of those guys can spend a lot of time watching what's going on in sports. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but where is the balance in that?
Yeah.
Maybe it's dancing. Maybe it's some of you girls love to dance. And dancing's not a bad thing. But is it taking something more important than God? I can't answer that for you. Only you can. But only you can know what that thing is in your heart. I don't know what it is. But only you do. But that takes me back to my tagline that says, just let God. Because once you know it, what you do. Right?
Amen.
Because I can do as much, I can try as best as I can on my own to do something. But I seem to always fail. And that's where the tagline comes in. Just let God. What does that mean? Just let. So just let God do the work. First of all, allow his light to shine in those dark places. Don't keep moving the idols around to the corners that he hasn't hit yet. His light will expose. Let it expose. Second, do what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. Do you know what that says? Mm-hmm. Isn't that an amazing verse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so transparent in what it's asking us to do. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. That was a promise he gave to Israel. If those elders would have turned around and gave up their idols and just humbled themselves and prayed, they served. God is a compassionate God. He's amazing how much he's willing to set aside when you're willing to humble yourself and pray. It's the same for us. He is willing to do the same for us. Are you willing to humble yourself and pray? And if you're willing to do that, you got to understand, when you're humbling yourself and pray, that means you're listening to what God has to say.
Amen.
And that means he is going to say something. That's kind of the just let God, because he's going to say something. Now comes your part, and that is, once he has said it, are you going to be obedient to it? So God will empower you. God will give you what you need. But you still have to take the steps to do it. Now, I've heard of great things this week, and they've all said the right things. Obedience, letting God do it, you know, and we're all going to head home on Saturday afternoon. And what is it that you're going to take from this? And are you going to humble yourself and pray? And are you going to seek His face? And are you going to allow Him to do His work in you?
You know,
that's my prayer for you. I hope that that'll be a prayer in your life as well. Bill?
You feel right.
Oh, and I didn't introduce myself. For those on the internet, I'm Mike Kane. I'm from part of the Kingsport, Tennessee Assembly.
Mike, I was tempted to, in my mind, to say, it's just you, Mike. But of course, you know, that's not true. I really appreciate that encouragement. My name is Bill Chinnis. I'm from the Charlotte Assembly. And I guess as just as an opening, as a personal testimony, strangely enough, it's been some 35 years since I started attending this church, and really since I found the Lord, it seems hardly possible that that could be true. And one of the reasons why it's hard to believe that's true is because it seems like in many ways I've just begun my walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
It's amazing how that happens. If you had asked me when I was at the arrogant age of, 25 or so, I would have said, yeah, I love the Lord. I know a lot about, God, and He's given us, given me a lot of the knowledge of what He's doing. And looking back, I couldn't have known much. But the point is, really, in all of our lives, we need to be willing to let God continue to teach us and reveal to us. There is no limit. We're so used to things which have limits. It's hard for us to appreciate something like God's working in our lives, which has no limit. Mm-hmm. Now, I know there will come a time of perfection. There will be a completion. I know that. But we're not there yet. And so that which God is doing in us is still just as fresh as it ever was. So I really wasn't exactly what I had intended to say. But I will say this, as the Lord has spoken to us this week, He's spoken to us about our calling, about our responsibilities, that part which we have to do to continue to walk in the things that He's shown, the work that is before us. And when I think about some of these things, my mouth gets a little dry and my knees get a little weak. When the scripture that says, that speaks about the fields being ripe with harvest and the workers are few, I start getting a little bit nervous, a little fearful. Lord, am I up to this task? And how is this going to accomplish? When I begin to work with certain people in my life, people that are in my life that have such a need, people in my family and otherwise, it's easy to become a little discouraged or a little fearful. It is awesome and amazing the way God has made us His co-workers.
Amen.
And the responsibilities that He's given us. We are not spectators on the sidelines just to watch what God is going to do. We are given you know, this calling, these gifts and ministries. That's amazing.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, well, it's a great responsibility. So this is a beautiful arrangement, but in our desire to be faithful to our calling and to do His work, we can forget His sovereign power. If we are feeling overwhelmed, let us be reminded God is perfect in power, and He is perfect in wisdom. As already been said today, it is not my sufficiency, but it is His sufficiency.
Amen.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with whether I am able, but that can I look to God that He will do the work. He will perform the work in us, and He will perform the work through us. So I just want to read a few verses here that are encouraging, familiar verses. In Psalm 121, just the first two verses there. When, you know, this idea of lifting up our eyes and seeing the Lord, if we are looking around us, you know, we can get caught up in the things we're seeing. The things of this world, the struggles, the politics, the problems, our health. These so many things, when we are looking around at this level, it becomes confusing and fearful. We need from time to time to lift up our eyes. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. It is God who will help us. It is God who will provide. And He is the very God that made the heavens and the earth. There is no weakness in Him. The scripture that really kind of started all this off for me is in Isaiah, the 6th chapter. Going quite familiar. It is the vision of Isaiah. And it is written this way: in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Now that's a pretty simple description, really. You know, in several places, John will say, you know, he'll be talking about something. He said, "And I, John," you know. And to me, that reveals his awe, you know, reinforcing that he could hardly believe, you know, that he himself experienced these things. And here, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up.
Amen. Hallelujah.
In His majesty, in His power.
Yeah.
When we are looking around at our problems, are we seeing the Lord? Or can we see the Lord high and lifted up in all of His power? Why should we fear?
Yeah.
Why should we doubt? And there's one more vision or picture of the Lord that I just love. It's in the first chapter of Revelation, of course. And this is, of course, the revelation to John. And, you know, I don't know if this strikes you the way it strikes me, but it just really fills me with awe. And you know, we know about our Lord Jesus. We often picture Him as, or He is often pictured as the man, Jesus the man, who walked this earth, and he is that man. We often perhaps picture Him as Christ on the cross. you know, dying for our sins. And he is also that one as well. Perhaps we picture him, you know, after his resurrection, as he appeared to the disciples, or even being lifted up into heaven. Our brother Mike here spoke about the visions of Ezekiel, and that, you know, it was as if Ezekiel was struggling to describe what he was seeing. You know, and really, we cannot use mere human words to describe these things that are so high. So Jesus, even though he came and he walked among us as a man, and he is very approachable, don't get me wrong, but he is an awesome force, I guess you could say. Let's read here in the first chapter of Revelation, and this is, let's say, about verse 12. John kind of has this introduction, and he says he was in prayer, and he heard this voice speaking to him, giving him some instructions. I just can picture this, you know. He said, and I turned around to see who was speaking, you know. And what did he see? I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. And this is, best I understand, being Christ being described here. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. I just love that description. In the King James it says, the sound of many waters. I don't know that there's anyone that doesn't find the sound of a rushing stream or a waterfall to be somewhat just beautiful and something that you meditate on. And here the voice of Christ is described as the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand upon me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys to death and Hades. This is the God, you know, that stands beside us, that lives within us, whose power will accomplish his will. He will accomplish his will. He will accomplish his will in this earth. He will bring the kingdom to pass. And in every person who is in your life that you have a concern about, he is concerned more. And his will accomplish what he is intending to accomplish in that person's life.
Praise God.
We need to stand up and have confidence. The scripture says that, you know, this in Revelation there and in Isaiah, that he is high and lifted up. We often picture heaven as some place sort of physically, you know, up in the heavenly somewhere, up in space or the clouds. We know a little bit more now, right? We're pretty smart now. We kind of know a little more about the universe, perhaps, than those were written. But we know that that's not really the best way to think about it, that God is everywhere at once. He is dwelling within us. He's not somewhere far off, way up high somewhere.
Right.
But he is high. He's high in majesty,
yes,
to be worshipped.
Amen.
He's high in wisdom,
yes,
to be consulted of us.
Yes.
He is also high in his loving kindness towards us. I love the word loving kindness. What a gentle God we serve. He is high in mercy. His mercy is everlasting. This is the Lord who is high and lifted up. He is high and to be reverenced. And to be trusted. We do not serve an earthly king who has earthly limits. We serve the God who made heaven and earth. When we are feeling a little defeated, or overwhelmed, or confused, let us look up to the Lord. Let us see Him high and lifted up.
Amen.
When we are out of ideas, when it seems our efforts are fruitless, let us look up and see the Lord on His throne and know that He has no limits. He has no possibility of defeat. Just read one scripture to finish here, and it may seem a little, I don't think it's off topic, but I think it will fit in. This is Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Or in the NIV, it says it helps us in our weakness. We are often weak in not knowing what to do or where to go or what the answer for a problem is. The Spirit will help us in this matter. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. You know, when we go to prayer, we do not always have to know what we need to pray for. We do not need to know how to pray. But we can just, in our mind's eye, worship the Lord on His throne. Give Him praise. Meditate on his glory. And let the Holy Spirit speak those words that belong to Him, that heavenly language. And comfort us. And work that work He needs to work in our heart. To give us the confidence to go forward. You know, we really should be a people that go into this battle, which seems so overwhelming and so great. You know, our enemies seem so great, and our enemies are, you know, they're within us, as Mike has spoke, and they are without as well. But we need to go into that battle joyfully, with singing and shouting. Not because of our own strength, not because of the greatness of our army, of the numbers, but because of the greatness of the Lord.
Amen.
So let's not forget who we have on our side as we go into this. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We certainly appreciate the things that have been ministered this morning, as well as the other things that have been accomplished through prayer. And just so thankful to the faithfulness of God. Before we dismiss, I wanted to remind you, I don't think it's even been announced, but tonight we will be lifting an offering for the foreign field. We do this every year, and the people of God have always been very generous, and we appreciate that so much. So we will be lifting that offering tonight, and that will be for the foreign field. If you want to make your checks out before you get here, just make it out to global missions. Global missions, regional camp, just global missions. And if you want to put up what it's for, just please put donation. Don't put foreign field or poor fund or whatever. Just put donation on it. And we'll know what to do with it. Are there other announcements before we